But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. We want to talk for just a few minutes about cause and effect. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Cause and effect. And the prophet Amos pens this. It seems like he was looking not only contextually in terms of an abundance, but he speaks metaphorically two times here about water. It's as if he was looking into the past week in Southeast Texas. Amen. But you know, in anything, there really is a cause and there is an effect. Amen. Now, sometimes we look at the cause, and really what we're looking at is not the cause. Amen. Amen. We see it as the cause, but it really is not the cause. Let's look at what the scripture says. And he points out two words, judgment, and I want you to help me here. Say justice.
Justice.
It's really what he's talking about. When he talks about judgment, it's justice. And then the other word is righteousness. Say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Amen. Justice and righteousness. These are prerequisites for acceptance by God. It is interesting. These are what Israel had rejected and scorned. But hear how God describes the mindset of Israel. You know, one of the dangers is to allow our minds to become reprobated, where we're no longer thinking about God, but we're thinking about everything else but God. Amen. And God loves us. And he loves us unconditionally. He loves us right where we are. He loves us too much to leave us where we are. The Lord wants the best for us. And it is amazing how we maltreat the God who loves us. Amen. Because he does not move immediately in judgment. But I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, there comes a time when the Lord says that that's enough. And the Lord knows what measure to deal with us to bring us back to where he wants us to be. Amen, amen, amen. It does not matter how we think it ought to be. God knows exactly what is necessary to bring us to where he wants us to be. Amen, amen. But it's interesting. He says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. He says in verse number 7, he says to them, "Ye wicked prophet, you twist justice, making it a bitter pill for the poor, for the oppressed. Righteousness and fair play are meaningless fictions to you." He says in verse 10, how you hate honest judges, how you despise people who tell the truth. Isn't that interesting? How you despise people who tell the truth. And then in verse 12 he says, "For I know the vast number of your sins and rebellions. You oppress good people by taking bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts." Not only did Israel reject and scorn the requisites for a relationship with God in that day, how much more do we see this pervasive wickedness in the lives of the people of today? God is an awesome God. When I think about the conversation of a week or so ago, it had nothing to do with helping anybody. It was about statues, protesting, threats, rancor, hatred. But God has a way of causing our minds to turn from the rancor, the bitterness, the hatred, the divisiveness that was the order of the day. And you know, we mentioned earlier that sometimes we think it's the cause, but it's not the cause, because what was happening was ostensibly because of statues that depicted heroes of the Confederacy. But a spiritual examination of the issue will reveal that the statutes are not the root cause. Preach, Pastor. Just as Israel's sins reveal the general moral deterioration of the nation. Now know what the Lord says. He says, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Amen. Will not turn away the punishment for their many sins. God's imminent judgment is often a punitive way to deal with those who fail to obey Him. Amen. Amen. He says, I tell you because I love you.
That's right.
He sent prophet after prophet to Israel. And Israel hardened their heart and would not hear what God had to say.
Right.
Till he gets to the point where he says, the fourth transgression. He's not literally saying 1, 2, 3, 4. He's talking about many transgressions. That there comes a point where enough is enough. But even when we are disobedient, when we are lawless, when we fail to obey the God that saved us, He still loves us. He still treats us as children of His. In Hebrews 12 and verse number 6, the scripture says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And that word scourgeth in the Greek for this verb means to whip. God chastens us in order to correct our faults. Hallelujah. But he said, but if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? And we all know that anybody that's raised children, you know that if you want to keep them out of the hotel down in Fort Bend County, you know, the Crossbar Hotel, you put something on them to influence their thinking. And we've got a lot of folk who have not had enough of that, and they live with an attitude. But can I tell you something? The Lord knows how to change your mind. Amen, amen. I always like to tell us, if you apply pressure, Sister Hodge, to the maximus gluteus, it will speak to our gray matter. And very often times, the Lord has to speak to us, amen, in the maximus gluteus, for us to understand we headed the wrong way. Because it's strange how if we continue in sin so long that sin becomes our norm. And it seems like folk who live in right don't even have good sense. Are y'all thinking with me?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. But I'm so glad that we serve a God of love. And he causes things to happen that will show us we headed the wrong way, so he can deal with us out of his love. Amen. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then he says in verse 16 of the third chapter, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and as a result, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And did you not see this truth manifested last week? Amen. Did you not see folk with showing compassion? Amen. You know, it blows me away that somebody would take their pickup and hook a trailer on the back of it and put a boat on it and come from North Carolina to help somebody that they don't even know. Amen. Don't you know God knows how to touch your heart and move them from having a fist clenched, talking about you will not move this stature? Now he's saying, how can I help you? Nobody but God can do that. God can melt the hardest heart, cause them who are thinking, I hate them. Now, how can I help them? How can I be a blessing? It's amazing that how the water rises, how more compassionate we become. Amen, amen, amen. The water is up to the eaves of houses, and you've got folk who are willing to come and to rescue people that they don't even know who lives there. God is good. And his mercies are everlasting. But I think about a person, amen, a person from North Carolina, from Louisiana, North Texas, that will take his or her boat and at his or her expense. Amen. They're not looking for reimbursement. Amen. They're simply coming because, can I help? And when you got a heart to help somebody, then your living is not in vain. God knows how to cause us to change. Amen. Amen. He knows how to flip the script. He knows how to cause us to start thinking about what's really important. And if we can help somebody as we pass along this way, then our living is not in vain. Don't you know, my brothers and sisters, the Lord has placed some decency in every person. And very oftentimes, the Lord knows what is required to get that decency out of them. And it is a very hard heart that can look at suffering people and not be moved. Amen, amen. The cause of it, really, we say, it's the flood. No, it's the Lord moving in the hearts of folk. Amen, amen. You can't see him moving. You can see the manifestation of what he is allowing to happen, but you can't see him moving in the hearts of folk. How that very hard heart that cared nothing about anyone, now they're concerned about how can I help somebody. Amen. And I'm particularly thrilled when I see our young people. They're so involved in helping and to do whatever they can do to make life better for somebody. Amen. God knows how to cause all things to work together for good. Amen. When God starts to move, then we can join the psalmist who said, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. Well, see, sometimes we fail to see the hand of God, the face of God, in a bearded fellow that comes to our house and helps us. But I want you to know that it's the face of God, hallelujah, that's coming there with the boat behind his trailer, behind his truck. Amen. God is moving in folk to cause them to know that he's still on the throne. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. That's why the psalmist could say in Psalm 91 in verse number 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, in him will I trust. And I got to tell you, there were folk this past week, that's what they were saying. He is my refuge and strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Amen. He is my fortress. In Him will I trust. When God takes care of you, amen, you got to say hallelujah. Amen. When God comes in, you know it was the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord, in the midst of the storm, He's still on the throne. No one of the poets said, when the storms of life are raging, the God that we have will stand by us. Can anybody attest to God standing by you? Amen. You wonder sometimes how you made it over. But I got to tell you, amen, it was not you. It was the power of God. God moved in a special way and caused us to be able to come to the house of the Lord today. Amen. Nobody but God. But when I think about how He uses these terms, He says in the New Living Translation, a mighty flood of justice. Amen. We know how to live right when times are tough. We know how to call on the Lord when times are tough. But can I tell you something? When times are good, call on the Lord. Amen. When times are pleasant, live righteously. Amen. Amen. We should not, as the people of God, live from crisis to crisis. Amen. Amen. And when you live for Him, when the crisis comes, you know the Lord is able to stand by you. The Lord is going to take care of you. Amen. I don't know how He's going to do it, but one thing I know, He's going to do it because of who He is, His faithfulness. God will take care of those that are His. And so when we talk about a cause, amen, there is a cause. The cause is God's great love for us. God knows how to get us where He wants us to be. He knows how to mete out just what is necessary. Amen. You wonder sometimes, how come it flooded at so-and-so's house and it didn't flood at my house? God knows how to measure it out. Somebody tell me, He scoops it out in the palm of His hand. He knows how to measure it out. Amen. Amen. He wants us to understand that He's in control. He wants us to know that He left us, amen, on dry ground to help the one who's flooded. Amen. Some of us wonder, amen, Lord, how come it didn't happen to me? It didn't happen because He wanted you to be a blessing to them. Amen. 100% of nothing is nothing. But when you got a little bit and you're willing to share it, the Lord said, I left you here that you could be a blessing to somebody. Isn't it amazing? And I say all the time, we get all we can all we get, and we set on the can. But when we realize that God is good, and God uses me and uses you as His instrumentality, here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. Amen. Don't you know God has no other hands here but your hands and my hands? Amen. It is not necessary. I feel like preaching. It is not necessary for Him to leave the throne of heaven and come down and help somebody, because He's got us here. Amen. He placed us strategically where we can be a blessing to somebody. And isn't it amazing that when we talk about being placed strategically, some of those folk the Lord put, as we said, in Louisiana, in North Texas. But at the proper time, they knew how to make it here. And it just blessed me that the Lord knows how to bring them here around the flood, that they're able to come and be a blessing to somebody. The cause is, I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to know that I want you to come back to me. And there's somebody who needed a reminder. Amen. God bless you. And you still are estranged from Him. God bless you. We separated from Him. But He sends out warnings to us. Warning, warning. You're away from me. Come back to me. Don't you know the Lord knows how to make it a little bit warmer each time around? When I think about the children of Israel, as they went around the mountain and the wilderness, and it seemed like they didn't have enough sense to come to the Lord. And amen. The Lord said, all right, one more time around the mountain.
amen, come back to me. And they didn't come back one more time around the mountain. Amen. For 40 years they had to wander in the wilderness, amen, to make a 12-day journey. Somebody here needs to understand, I need the Lord in my life. Amen. If the storm didn't tell you, amen, you ought to let nature speak to you. Amen, amen. When you think about the folk who perished, they were no worse than we are. Amen. But it's because of the hand of God that we are kept. And God says, I kept you to be a blessing. My question to you today, are you a blessing? Amen. The effect of it ought to be, we ought to be more grateful to Him. The effect ought to be, I will bless the Lord at all times. The effect of it, go ahead and preach that. The effect ought to be, nobody ought to prompt me to say hallelujah. Amen. I ought to have a spontaneous hallelujah. Amen. When I realize what the Lord has done for me, nobody ought to have to say, now say amen. No, you don't have to tell me to say amen. I know what God has done for me. I'm going to say amen because God is good. So many people. I know He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. I know that through those many dangers and toils and snares, God kept me. Amen. I'm going to praise Him. Amen. Starting out, and I told Deacon, well, yeah, I believe we can get to church on Sunday, but the rains came. But I want you to know that in the midst of the rains, the Lord held an umbrella over us. Oh, yeah, the water came up, and it moved close to the house, but in the midst of everything, God still kept us. Amen, amen. He kept us Sunday. He kept us Monday. He kept us Tuesday. And He kept us Wednesday. He kept us Thursday. He kept us Friday. And now His sun is shining. God is a good God. Who would have believed on Tuesday we'll have a Sunday day like we got today? Say nobody to be like Jesus. Say nobody to be like the Lord. The one in the sun is better than I've been for the Lord on my side. And I'm glad to tell you the Lord is on your side. Amen. He walks with you and He talks with you and He tells you that you are His own. Do you know it? A spontaneous praise. I come in the house praising Him. I drive down 59 praising Him. I go down I-10 praising Him. I go down West Belfort praising Him. Somebody said, why it don't take all of that long? I don't know what it takes for you, but I know what my God has done for me. I don't praise Him because of what He's done. Because of who He is. Worthy. 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 Now think about to yourself. Now think about to yourself. Not only did He show me grace. Hallelujah. But He showed me a greater grace. For while I was yet a sinner, the greatest grace there is, I was on my way to hell. Without one plea, but the God that I serve. And I got a witness to Him. The Son looked over at the Father and said, sacrifices you don't want, but just give me a body. I'll go down and I'll remain man. He stepped through 42 generations, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Glory, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm making myself happy. When you think about a baby, you think about those little cute pink feet. When I look at my grandbaby's feet, little cute pink feet. But I gotta scratch that out of my mind when I start thinking about Jesus. When the Bible says, feet like polished brass. I'm like they burn in a furnace. but John, the Bible said, Peter said, and he went about doing good. Never got a witness. He opened up deaf ears, put away stammering tongue, spoke to us in a real way. But the thing that I love about Jesus, he was on the fire. He put a cross on his shoulder. Talking about a cause and effect. Because of sin, he put a cross on his shoulder. Have I got a witness? He died on the cross. Put it in a bar of grave. But these old days, these God.